How would you like to profit from franchise opportunities? Jeff Schaefritz will tell us how to do this. And what's so special about Jeff is he's a strategic franchise advisor and the founder of Franchise Guidance, helping executives and investors bring clarity and confidence to franchise decisions in an industry often clouded by hype. He has over 30 years of experience in franchising, and he has led franchise development for major brands, successfully owned and sold his own top performing fitness franchise, and guided hundreds of individuals through critical financial and lifestyle decisions. So, Jeff, why should someone choose franchising as a way to profit versus doing their own business or something else?
Welcome to Awakened Titans Podcast with Lily Patrescu. Mind-blowing conversations with influential business titans sharing how you can manifest abundance, love, joy, success through quantum awakening, quantum manifestation, quantum healing, quantum miracles, exponential business growth, and innovative products and services.
That's a great question. And first, Lily, let me thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be able to speak with you and your guests and talk a little bit about franchising. Franchising is not right for everyone, but a lot of people want to open a business, but they don't know where to start. They don't have an idea. And they're good at executing, but they don't want to build everything from scratch. And that's where franchising comes in. A proven business model that is can be replicated, has support infrastructure in place, has training in place. So you can really hit the ground running without having to create everything on your own. So anybody who's looking to be in business for themselves, but have a little support, franchising is a great way to go.
Thank you. Tell us your journey into the franchise world and what led you to become a strategic franchise advisor.
So my journey is interesting. I've been in franchising since college, actually, and I got into franchising really by accident. I wanted to be in sports management, and I sold season tickets to a person who had an Athlete's Foot franchise and said I was moving, and they were like, oh, the Athlete's Foot is based out of Atlanta. You should meet with them. I interviewed, I thought I was going to sell franchises to athletes, and turned out that I learned franchising, and it was phenomenal. So I got hooked at a very early age, and it's all I've done my whole career.
Thank you. You've been franchising for more than 30 years. What first made you believe franchising could be a powerful wealth-building vehicle for you in particular?
Well, I've done so many different things throughout franchising. And like I said, I started out of college and I really learned the ropes. And I just saw how I was able to help change so many people's lives who were tired of being in the corporate world, wanted a way out, but didn't have anything ready to go, didn't have a business idea, didn't have a plan. And I was able to help them escape the corporate world and get into, at that time, the Athlete's Foot, which was an athletic footwear franchise. So I stayed there for about 8 or 9 years. And when I left, I really didn't want to just sell one franchise. I wanted to work with people so that they could understand franchising and be able to bring with them hundreds of different types of opportunities. So when I was with the Athlete's Foot, if they didn't want an Athlete's Foot or Athlete's Foot wasn't a good fit, you know, there was nothing I could do. But when I got into the strategic franchise advising, now I have the opportunity to place people in any type of franchise opportunity. And there's so many wonderful different options out there. So I really enjoy that.
Thank you. Can entrepreneurs become millionaires with a semi-passive franchise? Or is there like a limit or a ceiling in terms of what you've seen happen with the people that you're currently advising? Are people reaching like six figures, seven figures, or is there a mix? Are there people that are doing less than that? Or is it all dependent on their own effort?
A little bit of everything that you just said. And the reality is franchising is a method of doing business that a company chooses as its growth strategy, and it's across every industry. So a little of it depends on what franchise you choose, and it depends on how you want to scale and grow your business. And frankly, just like the corporate world, there are people who are extraordinarily successful and become multimillionaires and you know, build a huge business and then sell it off down the road. There's people that struggle and they fail. And it's just like the corporate world where you have a position available and you have some people are excellent, some people are average, and some people are a little bit below average. The key from what I found is making sure people have the right opportunity, which sometimes isn't the best franchise that's out there. It's the right franchise for the individual who's going to be running the business and overseeing the business.
Thank you. How can someone decide what kind of franchise opportunity is right for them? Is it something based on what they like to do, on their personal interest, on their passion, or is it something else completely different? Is it their personality?
Actually, I think it's different than your passion. I've seen a lot of people get into a business because they love a product or service and they're passionate about it. They open the business and they learn that they can't stand it as a business, basically. It doesn't allow them to enjoy the passion that they have because they're stuck running it as a business. And so for me, I try to figure out what the person I'm working with, their lifestyle they're trying to create. What are they trying to do with their life? What does success look like for them? Where are their strengths? What do they dislike doing? So we don't have them focusing on those types of efforts in terms of work dynamics. And then go find opportunities that fit around what the life is they're trying to create. And sometimes those opportunities are completely different than what they would think they would be. But if they take the time to learn about it and see who are successful in those businesses, they realize, you know, that it's a perfect fit and they love that business. So again, I'm not suggesting you don't want to like the product or service that you sell, but I think it's more important that you define what your life, like a successful life, and what your goals are before you worry about picking the business, basically.
Thank you. I think everyone likes the idea of doing nothing and making money. And for most people, it's just really a dream. And I'm wondering, what does semi-passive franchise, what does it actually mean?
It's a good question. And I'm a straight shooter on this. There is nothing that you can do nothing and make a lot of money other than maybe put your money in the stock market or maybe buy real estate and have someone manage the property for you. Semi-passive or is more to me manager run from the start. So if you have some flexibility in your job or you have another business and you are looking to build something, opportunities that can be manager run from the start. It doesn't mean that you're not doing anything, but you can have a Monday through Friday 8-to-5 job, always managing the manager, helping build the culture, handling the administrative, handling the business end of things. And so those types of opportunities do exist, but I certainly would tell somebody it's not I'm going to open a business, do nothing and make a lot of money. Over time, you can build your business to where everything's in place and it's running smoothly and you don't have to put in as much time. Early on, you're going to have to put some time into the business.
Thank you. What kind of investor is best suited for a semi-passive franchise opportunity?
The best suited individuals for that are either one or two people, executives that have some flexibility in their job, and or have a spouse that has some flexibility in their job. They'll still keep their job, but they'll again manage managers, and their goal is to build a business that gives them choices and flexibility down the road. So 3 to 5 years from now, they might have 3 to 5 locations open, they've replaced their income, and they can step away from the corporate world at that point. The second group that I think does very well with manager run are existing business owners that are looking to diversify and build their second opportunity, basically second business. And so I work with both executives and primarily business owners looking to diversify. So both primarily executives and business owners looking to diversify. So
thank you. What kind of investor is going to struggle or should avoid a semi-passive franchise?
Somebody who has no time at all. You know, if you're an executive and you go to the office at 6 a.m. and you come home at 8 p.m, then you probably don't want to do a manager run, you know, semi-passive business, unless you have a spouse that would be able to help you oversee the business. If you're someone who travels all the time, so you're never in town, that might be a little bit of a challenge for you. And lastly, if you're someone who doesn't have leadership experience or management experience, that's going to be tough for you, because ultimately what you're doing is you're putting somebody in charge as the face of your business to run the day-to-day operation. So if you're not comfortable leading, that could be problematic.
Thank you. How much involvement should someone expect in the first 6 to 12 months? How many hours a week, or how much time would you say? Not to mention, for example, the learning curve and the learning time, aside from the involvement in the actual business. How many months would you say it takes for someone to learn what they actually need to do and then to kind of put it in practice?
Yeah, that's a good question. And it's tough to say, because everybody's different, A, and B, there are so many different types of franchises and businesses out there. So it's hard. If you're going to keep your job, you definitely need to be prepared to put in 20 to 30 hours a week over and above your job during the first 6 months to a year. And it can be weekends, it can be evenings, it can be lunch hours and before work and doing different things. But you have to be prepared to put that time in. If you're leaving your job and you're going to run the business full time, because, you know, I work with a lot of people who want to keep their job, but I also work with a lot of people who are just ready to get out of the corporate world and make a full-time change, then it's different. Then the job is your, I mean, the business is your full-time job, and you're putting in 50, 60 hours a week. So.
Thank you. What's the biggest misconception executives and investors have about passive or semi-passive income?
That they just have to, there's two that I'd like to hit. One is that they just have to, you know, buy the franchise and the franchise runs itself. And that's not the case. You could have two franchisees in the exact same location with the exact same business. One is super successful and one struggles mightily. So that's, you know, one thing I would say. So finding a business that's right for you, that fits what you're looking for and plays into your strengths, would be an important factor in selecting a manager-run business or a franchise opportunity. And I apologize, because I started talking and I don't remember the whole question. Remind me of what you asked.
It was, what is the biggest misconception that executives and investors have about passive or semi-passive income?
Perfect. That they don't have to put any.
Yeah.
So the second thing is that every business, if a business is growing and it's hot and it looks like it's successful, they should own that business. And the reality is there are a lot of great businesses that I work with that if I ran them, I would struggle because they don't fit my strengths. And so the misconception of if I have this franchise, I'm going to make a ton of money. You want to find a good franchise, but you want to make sure, most importantly, that it fits all the characteristics you're looking for in your skill sets.
Thank you. What are the biggest struggles that you've seen leaders and executives have, even if, for example, they already have a business that is running that is successful? What are some of the biggest struggles you've seen them have with franchising?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. One, the number one issue is going into business undercapitalized. So you want to make sure that you do have working capital to support the business. You also have to have realistic expectations. You know, you're going into that business and the first year or so is a learning curve. You know, you're building your foundation. So people who expect to make an investment and make a fortune year one, the reality is that's not going to happen. It's going to take some time to build the business. The nice thing is you're building equity during that first year or year and a half while you're building the business, and you're putting systems in place so the business can run smoothly for down the road. And then the third thing, I'm going to keep hitting on it because I think it's an important factor that a lot of people miss, making sure that you have the right business, that you don't just go buy a business because you see a friend of yours owns one over here, and if you owned it, you'd be successful as well. If it's not a good fit for you, you're going to struggle.
Thank you. After the first year, let's say, where the investor in a franchise would put, let's say, like you said, 20 to 30 hours a week, would you say that the hours would dramatically reduce in terms of like how many hours would an investor need to put in if they have like a manager run kind of franchise?
Yeah, it's interesting because, again, a lot of the variables are dependent on the individual who's running the business and their leadership capabilities. So for some people, they'll probably have to continue putting in that kind of effort. For others, they've got the manager. They feel really good about the manager. They're great at delegating and they can shrink way down. I owned a fitness franchise and I spent probably 90% of my time, 95% of my time doing this, you know, being a strategic franchise advisor. And I had managers that ran the business. But there are other people that own that same fitness franchise and they weren't comfortable, you know, delegating as much or what have you. So a little bit is on you, but the tools, there are certain businesses that the tools are in place for it to be manager run and for you to manage managers. And that time should be able to shrink dramatically year over year as you get more comfortable with the business and the employees that you have.
Thank you. Tell us your top five case studies of entrepreneurs you've worked with where you've helped them to find the franchise that's fit for them, where it has panned out really well. And if you can share some results that they've had in terms of like that fitting into their lifestyle and then being happier or just making extra money, anything that you find relevant that is a success story.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been doing this for a long time. So there's a ton of franchisees that have been successful. But one of the things that I really like doing is putting people in businesses that they wouldn't have thought, you know, would be a good fit. So an example, I'm actually became an investor in this business. I had an individual who wanted to scale up a large business and then be able to do something else at the same time, or once the business started taking off. And it was a gentleman, and he got into an eyelash extension business. And that's, you know, obviously not his forte, but he never would have thought of this type of business for himself. But he's become, you know, very successful with that business. I've had a couple people in the fitness world. My favorite fitness, I guess, modality now is probably Pilates and strength training. But I've had a few people in Pilates that were individuals that had no idea what Pilates was. They wanted a manager-run business. They built up multiple units, and they sold to private equity for a significant amount of money. But some of my stories that I really like are people when they're in a time of need too. Like I had a gentleman who had lost most of his money and really didn't want to go back to the corporate world. And we found a low investment, low overhead home services business that he was able to scale up and, you know, replace and exceed his income and continue to build and grow and eventually sell and then parlay that into another business. So there's so many different stories out there, but a lot of them involve finding an opportunity that the person never would have thought of when they got into the business. There's you know, a lady that I just recently helped in Atlanta who was not wanting to go back to the corporate world. She ended up doing it full-time. We were looking at both full-time or manager run. And she had made a decision that she didn't want to work as hard as she's been working. She had a very high-level corporate position. And she was looking at businesses that, quite frankly, would have had not a great work-life balance. And she had a daughter who was graduating from high school in a couple years and wanted to be home and spend time with her. And I was able to help her find actually a pool cleaning and maintenance business where she can scale a large business. It's repeatable, recurring revenue. But instead of, she was looking at some restaurant concepts. Instead of having business that was open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m, there all the time, she was able to build a business that, you know, really plays into her lifestyle with a much lower investment and still highly scalable. So, you know, and I can go on and on, I guess, with stories like that. But that's the fun part, is, you know, really helping people change their lives.
Thank you. How were you able to understand or kind of figure out what is like a good fit in terms of a franchise for a particular entrepreneur? Like, is it like an intuitive thing? Is it like you get them to go through a questionnaire? Or is it like you get their perspective of, oh, I would like to do, I don't know, a dog training business or whatever business. And you're thinking, actually, no, based on the kind of lifestyle you would like, I think something else could be like a better fit. How do you kind of do this kind of judgment call?
Yeah, thanks. I do like the dog training business too, by the way. I have a process that I take people through where we spend a lot of time so that I can understand what their goals are, what they want to accomplish, what success looks like, what, where their strengths are, the things that, that they dislike doing, so that we try to keep them, you know, away from that, or at least make sure that the most important criteria isn't that position for that business to be successful. Any characteristics, anything that's important to them in selecting the right opportunity, and we go through, you know, quite a few things, and we build a model together based on everything that's important to them and finding the right opportunity. And then I take that model, we've pre-screened hundreds of franchises in all different industries, and I go find opportunities that fit exactly what they're looking for and have territory available and bring them to them. And I've been doing this for so long that, you know, I really do understand what people are looking for, what they want to be doing every day. And I understand what the franchisor is looking for. And that's, you know, that's how I do my match, basically. So a lot of research on franchisors to understand them as well.
Thank you. Tell me more about poor matchmaking in terms of choosing the wrong franchise for you. What are some telltale signs that you're kind of like choosing the wrong one? Is it that you're just like following your passion and you're not really thinking about the lifestyle? What kind of criteria do you look at to find the right one and to avoid the wrong one?
Well, yeah, it's a lot of questions. So if I'm working with somebody, and let's just say they were an accountant, and we're talking, and they say, hey, I'd love a business that's Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Okay, check. And I prefer a business with a very small number of employees. Okay, great. And we're talking about types of employees. Well, not minimum wage or blue collar or high school age. Okay, great. And you start going down this whole litany of things. And then they say, and I'm looking at opening a ice cream shop or a pizza place, or, because I saw it in my neighborhood and it's going gangbusters. And what I would say is, everything you don't want in a business is what's going to happen if you open this business. You're going to be working weekends and evenings. You're going to be dealing with minimum wage employees. You're going to be dealing with a lot of turnover. And so maybe that pizza shop or ice cream shop or what have you is a great business for somebody, but you're going to be absolutely miserable, you know, with that business. And so that's kind of how I go through the process. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people don't think like that. They think, oh, I love ice cream. Maybe they're working in corporate America, and they say, oh, I like white collar businesses, but they don't do sales. Well, you're not going to have any business if you don't do sales. So, you know, just because you enjoy, you know, coding or engineering, and there might be a franchise that does that, that if you can't get any customers, you're going to struggle with that. So we need to find you a business where marketing drives the customer base, you know. So just going through a lot of information to understand what somebody wants to do, what they want their life to look like, and, you know, on a daily basis, you know, what they want to go in and put their pants on and go in and do every day. if it doesn't align, then they're not going to be happy, basically. And there's a big difference between running a business and being a customer or doing a function of a job somewhere, basically.
Thank you. How can someone make money as a master franchise holder?
Oh, that's great. Can I take a sec? I'll explain what kind of a master franchise or regional developer is.
Yes.
Okay. So there's different types of franchises. There's, you can buy one unit, you can buy multiple units, often called an area development, where let's say you want to open five fitness studios in a market and you buy the rights to develop them. And as long as you're meeting your development schedule, say one a year for 5 years, you own that area. And then there's master franchising or regional developer. And that's usually a much bigger deal. Maybe it's you buy a whole city or you buy the whole state, you know, that you live in. And your role is twofold. One, you'll probably open a business and you can open and operate that business. So if it's a fitness franchise, for argument's sake, you're opening one or two yourself. But you're also like the franchisor in your market. So your role is to just bring in franchisees under you, and you get a piece of the franchise fee and a piece of the royalty fee. And it's really a great wealth building option, but it does take a while to build, because you got to bring in a bunch of new franchisees and then have them start to generate sales and royalties for yourself. So that's what a master franchise is. And not every franchisor does that. A lot of franchisors don't do master franchising, but some do. And it can be a really great opportunity for the right person.
Thank you. What kind of people should consider becoming a master franchisor?
I think the people who should consider it are A, people who have the funds to invest in a market, because it's going to be significant, and then still have the funds to open their own location, and not need a kind of super quick payback. Because the idea of, you know, if you look at franchisors as a whole, they don't start making money till they have a certain amount of franchisees and a certain amount of royalties coming in. Once they do, they make a lot of money. And when you become royalty self-sufficient, then, you know, the money kind of rolls in. It's the same thing for a master franchisee. So you have to be patient and be able to, you know, build something and want something that could have a significant amount of equity, but takes some more time to build, basically.
Thank you. What's the failure rate for franchises? Is it a lot lower than having your own business?
Yeah, I will say this. There's all kinds of different things online, but there's nothing that is really accurate. So I'm never comfortable, quoting a number, because I don't want to quote too low. But the fact of the matter is, there are, you know, franchises that fail. But if you find a franchise that fits with your model and has a track record of success, you should have a much better chance of success than if you started something on your own. And I think you would see that as you do your research on the franchise and learn more. So in my opinion, it should have a much greater track record than an independent business. But I don't want to throw a number on there.
Thank you. How do franchise owners make money?
Well, it depends on what the franchise is, but the franchise owners are, when you say franchise owners, do you mean the person who bought the franchise or the franchise parent company?
The person who bought the franchise.
So the person who bought the franchise, it's their business. And so they make money like anybody would in a business by running a successful business. The only difference is you pay a royalty percentage to the franchisor of whatever the royalty is, typically based off your gross revenues. But for that, you should be getting a lot of support and systems and things like that that you don't have to create, right? So you make money like anybody else who owns an independent business by running a successful and profitable business.
Thank you. How should someone think about franchising as an income stream compared with stocks, real estate, or buying an independent business?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when you look at a franchise versus real estate or stocks, this is what I tell people. First of all, I want to throw out franchising is heavily regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. So it's like I'm not able to just say you can make 27% if you do this or something like that. I teach people how to do their homework so they can figure that out. But what I do say is if you don't think you can make substantially more on a cash on cash return percentage wise than the stock market or real estate, you shouldn't do a franchise. Or you shouldn't do that franchise because you're putting in time, whereas the other ones, you're not putting in time, basically. So I look at it like the investment, that the return should be a lot higher than it should be in stocks or real estate, or you shouldn't do the deal. That's the best way to put it. And an example might be if you put 100 grand in the stock market and you return 10% a year, you make $10,000 a year. That's not bad. I mean, that's, you know, historically, you know, what the stock market does. But if you invested $100,000 in a business and you had to put some time into it, even if it wasn't a ton of time, and you made $10,000, you're probably not going to be that happy, right? So that's how I kind of look at that when you're evaluating between stocks and real estate. One is completely passive and one is putting some time into it.
Thank you. What have you noticed about the most successful franchise owners? What are they doing differently versus people who buy a franchise and don't do so well?
One, I think they go in with realistic expectations. They do their homework. They understand what the business is going to be like. They understand that, you know, they're not going to start day one and you know, make ridiculous amounts of money because they have to build the business. The second is they realize that even though it's a franchise, they still have to execute. So a franchise is great. I mean, they give you the playbook to be successful, but you still have to execute. And so they go into it with the mindset that I'm getting this playbook, but it's up to me to make it successful, not I'm buying this franchise. And because I buy this franchise, it's automatically, you know, going to be successful, basically.
How long does it typically take before a franchise starts producing meaningful income?
Yeah, it depends on the franchise. I know I say that on a lot of answers, but it really does because there's so many businesses that are out there. There are franchises that are lower overhead that have a potential to cash flow, you know, quicker than others. But I usually tell people you're probably not going to make, you know, much money, if any, the first year that you're in business. You need to plan on, like any business would be, you know, there's a startup phase, you've got to start to build it, and you might not take money out. So if you do, great, ahead of time. But if you don't, you've planned for it, basically.
Thank you. What does a realistic return on investment look like in franchising? I'm sure you're going to say it depends, but what are the ranges that you've experienced with the people that you've coached?
I mean, the range is, you know, a loss to, several hundred, you know, percent gain. And the thing is, really, when you're looking at it, there's two things that happen on the return on the investment. There's the ongoing return that you get, you know, from the business. And then there's the equity when you sell the business. And so it's, I don't look at it like a strictly like an investment, because there is time that you put into it. And so the only way I would quantify it better is if you don't think it's significantly better than what you can get by putting your money into the stock market or real estate, then you shouldn't do the deal. And I think what people will see when they do their homework, if it's the right opportunity, that the potential is ridiculously higher. It should be significantly higher. If they don't see that, don't do it. You know, and again, I'm going to go back to people say to me, well, if I can beat 15% return, I'd love to do this deal. And I, you know, think to myself, would you want to invest 200 grand, make 30 grand a year, which is a great return, or 35 grand a year. But if you're putting time into it, that's, you know, probably not a great return 3 years out, you know, from the business. So that's the way to look at it. Now, I'm sorry that I keep saying it depends on the business, but there are 75 different industries in franchising and thousands of different franchises. So, you know, there's everything from pool cleaning, dog washing, poop picking up from pets, to in-home senior care, to teaching kids how to swim and building out a $2 to $4 million swimming pool, fitness and food and health and wellness and automotive and all kinds of different things out there.
Thank you. What are some great franchise opportunities that are often overlooked?
That's a really good question. And I think that the dirty businesses are often overlooked, and I think they're great businesses, and I think they're great businesses for what we're going through with the AI revolution. So all of the home and commercial services, whether it's, you know, plumbing or insulation or roofing or pool, you know, maintenance or restoration, the franchise owners aren't the one doing the work. I'm not suggesting that they're not working on the business, but they're the ones selling, dealing with customers, you know, hiring and managing employees, and hiring the technicians. And those industries aren't going to be replaced by AI in the next year or two. Basically, you're not going to have someone come and, you know, AI put a new roof on your house. So I love a lot of those dirty businesses.
Thank you. What are some of the most profitable franchise opportunities that you've experienced? And
to that point, I think the home services businesses are great because the investment is significantly lower. So you expand with people and trucks, and instead of spending $500,000 or $700,000 to build a new store every time, you can buy the territory next door for $50,000 and put a truck on the road and hire another employee. So I think the return can be really strong in those. But areas that I really like that are storefront right now, love health and wellness, longevity, fitness, women's beauty services that I think are highly profitable, and businesses dealing with pets, children, and seniors. So I've found throughout my time that people will always spend money on their pets, their parents, and their children, no matter what's going on in the economy.
Thank you. What are some of the lowest investment opportunities that are kind of fast to learn, quick to run, and I have like a low learning curve that can be started and become profitable relatively quickly for the right person?
Yeah. So when you're talking about non-storefront, you know, I think there's some interesting, you know, again, home service businesses. You have to pick the right one, though, because you're going to people's homes. So you have to pick a business that I think is fairly easy to manage employees. And if you're not going to leave your job, I like the businesses that deal more with the outside of someone's home. So whether it could be something like pest control, pool maintenance and cleaning, window washing, things like that. These are businesses, again, that you just scale with people and trucks. When you talk storefront, as far as lower investment, lower overhead, there's some children's businesses that I like music lessons. I just did a deal with somebody that moved forward with a driving school. They're teaching kids. Every child needs to learn how to drive, and the schools don't teach them anymore in the school district. So, and my children are a little older now, but when they were going through, it was impossible. You had to book their driving lessons a year and a half before they even were ready to start driving. So there are some businesses like that where there's not heavy build out that are low investment. There's a few fitness type franchises that are a little bit lower investment for storefronts as well. That what I see, you know, when you start to get into the food and some of the other businesses, the investment starts to go up and the time commitment goes up as well.
Thank you. What are some of the most enjoyable franchise opportunities that you've seen that people actually enjoy besides actually making the income? Like, I'm talking like the management of it being relatively easy.
So to me, I don't think the widget matters so much, because you're doing the same things anyway. You're managing the employees, and running a business. As far as simple operations go, there are, again, I don't want to dwell on pool cleaning, but this person that I helped get into business recently, they start with one technician and one employee, and it's marketing driven. And the company answers the phone and schedules, a meeting for you. And so there's really not a lot that you have to do. And when I look at simple businesses, I look at businesses, I have a son who's a junior in college, I would put my son in. And that's a perfect example of a business that I would put my son into. So there's some simple low investment service-based businesses. And there's some simple storefront service-based businesses where you're not having to buy a lot of inventory and you're getting people in there who are either passionate about what they do or they've got schooling and they're making it more of a career than it would be if you just opened an ice cream shop.
Thank you. Are franchises implementing AI? And if so, have franchises become easier to operate because of AI?
Yeah, I think the better franchises, and probably by now most franchises are starting to implement AI, and it's going to make running a business a lot easier. I am working with a lot of people who come from the technology world corporately now that are losing their jobs, unfortunately. And franchising is an area where AI is helping businesses right now. It's not taking away jobs. And so I think there's a lot of interest in franchising right now because there's a lot of opportunity out there.
So tell us how investors can connect with you.
The best way to reach me, there's two best ways. One is my website, www.franchiseguidance.com. But I have a special, welcome URL for all of your listeners, and that is podcast.franchiseguidance.com/ATP. So that's podcast.franchiseguidance.com/ATP. And there's some special offers on there as well.
Thank you.
Follow us for more interviews with world's most influential business titans, providing you with the insights to awaken to your full potential so you can get paid to be yourself, find true happiness, and manifest anything you desire.